Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
He's surely alive.
He's ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Family will be right with you. My last 5 minutes always goes away really fast. I love you, and welcome to Rapture-Centric Church, where Jesus is our pastor, and we are happy to have fellowship here. And today, I want to take a moment at the beginning of the show, a few moments, and dedicate the first portion of this show not only to our family, but also to anybody else who has who may hear this broadcast or maybe out there that we don't know of, or even anybody who may not really be sure about what our faith is about. So I want to say a prayer accordingly. Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity that you would do your work through us. We know that we don't need, that you don't need us, but that we do need you, and that it's a tremendous privilege that you would give us the opportunity to share your wisdom and power, and especially your loving power, with others that cross our paths. So help us today, and especially in this particular day, to share what we know about you, some of what we know about who you are, and help us to give understanding to those who may not have it. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I have, I've got Pat on the line. I'm going to open her up real quick. And
hi, guys.
Before I get going, hi, Pat.
How are you?
How are you? I'm really good. How are you, Pat?
Okay, I'm fine.
Okay. Can I get you to look up something to read for us a little bit later?
Oh, sure.
John, the Gospel of John 17, verses about 5 through 11.
John 17, 5 to 11, sure.
Yeah.
And I'll look it up.
We're going to actually read that with communion. Okay. And then I should I've got somebody else here. Hello, who do we have? I'm still getting. Is this Keith? Hello, Keith. Apparently, his second in command papers haven't come through yet. So what I want to do right now is talk a little bit about understanding the spirit. I thought it would be good to maybe go over the leading in the spirit. This is one of the places where I think people have some trouble developing their relationship with God. And I think one of the reasons is because where we're really introduced to this as a powerful concept is in the book of John. And in my experience, the book of John is lightly taught, if really taught at all. I've had some kids go through Christian schools and have Bible classes, and the teachers who have some seminary training will come and say, oh, yeah, we're going to study the book of John, and then they'll come in, and they'll basically not address any of the passages that talk about teaching in the Spirit. And so we know that we can go to Romans and find that, but the foundation is established in the book of John. And so the Spirit is really introduced in the New Testament in the Gospel of John, the Holy Spirit, where he says, the Word of God became flesh, and that's in John 1:14. And he also says, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, three names of the Holy Spirit, in John 14:26. And then further he says, that Holy Spirit will be with us forever, a little earlier, in John 14:16. So the Holy Spirit is his life, his light, his communicator, our friend that we can rely on to communicate with us and to help us and to, in our prayer life, in our walk. And he's our line of communication through Jesus Christ, even with God the Father. So in this context, our growth is supposed to be through the Spirit. And I'm going to read here from John chapter 16, verses 12 through 14, if I can pull it up here. And jump in just a minute. It says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So this is where we get our knowledge and our leading, and because he's with us forever, he's not going to discontinue communicating the essence of God to us. He will continue on that. Now, the Bible is one emanation of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is alive and will speak within us and gives us guidance. So he's going to be with us forever, and we seek him on a daily basis, or we try to, so that we can know that we're in his will, and he'll help us grow. And, you know, we don't always get it right. We're not supposed to always get it right. But this is the inspiration that we can have, that we know that we can have this connection. We do have this connection with him. And it's part of why Jesus came in the flesh, is to make available the Holy Spirit to everyone else. So the Holy Spirit is in us today, and he's helping us grow, and he's sharing the person of God with us on a daily basis. And this is what we're supposed to seek out, so that we can move on and grow in our walk with him wherever we're at. Another thing that I really had impressed upon me today is an explanation a little bit about where we have come from and who we are, is the notion of the raptures today. Judy got that, and her son got that about 4 months ago, and that's a phrase we use often around here, it's today. And we have taken that literally, as he has asked us to. But it also occurred to me that maybe what we ought to do is give some consideration of how that looks in our lives. So what I think we should do is live in that as much as we can. We have a spiritual connection. We have our faith. We have experienced difficulty and frustration in pursuit with God. He said we would have our troubles and difficulties, and we know that the world isn't aligned with God, so that's a natural thing. But we also probably all experienced, at least the ones closer to our raptor-centric family here, really have experienced the uplifting. We've seen miracles just recently with some of the people who are part of our group in their life situations. And we have all, I think, seen God working in our lives and working through our daily existence, at least at one time or another, and, you know, seeing things happen that he could only have arranged in very unusual ways. So what does it look like if we're really living in the idea that the rapture is today? Because we have it in the spirit, we have a faith, okay, the rapture is today, we look forward to it. But have we really thought about where our life is at, what our leading is, what is our state of mind? Because we may believe it in the spirit, but we still are connected to the flesh. We're connected to a world that is a non-believing world. We have obligations. If the rapture, if you knew in every aspect of your spirit and in every aspect of your flesh, without any question whatsoever, that the rapture was today, what would your day look like? So I would like you to consider that, and I'm going to play a song here just to give a little bit of time so that we can see, just consider that and make it real in our minds, because it's hard to make heaven real in our minds, but that's partly because we're not there. We've never really been there and in our current consciousness, and so we really have a hard time with that. But we live in the world, and we should be able to imagine what that looks like in our existence, while the at least as an idea, you know, how would we really live if we took a day? It's sort of like the last day on Earth thing. I mean, you know, if you know that there's not going to be another day, what do you do with your life? How do you rearrange your priorities? What is you know, where is your true reality? What becomes more important? What do you not care about anymore? What are the things that you set aside? And let's just take a few minutes to consider here. So today is the day, and that's the frame of mind he's asked us to have.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, when you consider that, when we really live in it, there's so many of the things that we do that the world holds over our heads. Sometimes our own sense of responsibility holds over our heads become meaningless. And that puts our focus on him. And hopefully it's a focus of joy and fellowship and relationship with the others that are in your life and that you want to see in heaven. And,
mm-hmm.
And those are the things that become important. So we don't really live in the rapture as today unless we feel free to let go of those things. And I think just imagining it is freeing. I mean, even if we know if we are still here in a week, even if we have conceived that in our minds, what that really, really looks like, that reminds us what our priorities really are. Reminds us where our heart is. It reminds us who we're really connected to. And in the spirit, we're connected to Jesus Christ and our Father, our Abba Daddy. That's who we're connected to. And that's mm-hmm. our eternal destiny. And that's what's really, really, truly important. So I think Joe called in. Joe, are you on the line? Oh, maybe he's not on the line.
Mm.
I don't know her. So, Pat, how was your day today?
Fine. My very special friend, Oliver, came to visit. This is the one that portrayed the Lord for 8 years in the 14 stations of the cross. He would have the beard and the hair, and he would be, he would live 5 minutes away. And I would sing. I sang for several years. So it's like a beautiful gift that he came down from Vermont. He's trying to sell his house over here and get it ready. This poor man has so many trials and tribulations from other people in his life that really don't have the Lord in their heart, but he's responsible to them, like his mother and his siblings and other people. So we sat today and we just kind of prayed, so keep Oliver in prayer. When he had the hair and beard, he walked through the house. It was like Jesus walking through the house, and he loves our Lord. He's a conversion story of at least about 15 years now. He's a walking example of AD and BC, believe you me, because he was on drugs and everything else, and God just got hold of him and changed his whole life, you know. So he's a walking blessing. You know, he does prayer ministry for the dying. He does pastoral counseling, you know, and he's a carpenter on top of it, a very, very good carpenter. So I'm just very blessed that he came in today, and you know, I'll just be seeing him, for he's going to be here about a week or so to do things. And what I'm saying is my day was just made so beautiful because of his presence, and that we can talk about the Lord. We both love the Lord so much. We have a very strong agape platonic relationship. You know, he's like one of my kids. I've known him since he's five. But to see the change in him, from how he was and how Jesus, he's a walking example that Christ exists. So but keep him in prayer, Oliver, with his all kinds of problems that he has from other people, you know, and he's hanging in there. He's being patient, but he's very stressed, and he's very, but at least we can pray together, and I'm grateful for that. And I know the Lord is in him, so I'm very blessed. So that was my day. I was very blessed to see him, and I'll see him several times more before he goes up. He'll have dinner with us and stuff, you know. But I said, you know, you always have a place to stay here. I have a guest room downstairs. He's like one of my kids. I think if anything ever goes wrong, but it's like telling Jesus in him, this is your home too, you know. And Oliver, he's like a beautiful friend. I have that relationship. And I said, you can stay here. So I address the Lord in him, and it's like anything you need, you know, I give him a hug, a little kiss, and I say, you know, anything you need, I'm here like a mom, you know. And just to take the stress up from what he's going through from having chosen mm-hmm. to love our Lord. Yeah. So that's pray for him, and I'm going to be quiet now. But I just wanted to tell you that how blessed I am that I have this beautiful man in my life who looks like, when he has the beard and the hair and the baton, he looks just like our Lord. I mean, if they stood next to each other, you'd have to play, you know, who's who here. So I'm very blessed to have this man in my life who's another Jesus Christ. He really is. He really is. So like Jesus said, here, this is what I'm going to send someone in your life who has me in him, looks like me, of me, played the part of me, does all of these kind of me things like the Sterling Cup prayer for the dying. This is funny, and I'll be quiet. Because he had the beard and the hair and stuff, and when he was ministering to the dying, he used to go home and cry every night, okay, because it was so touching. People would be kind of delirious, and when they'd come to a little bit, they would look at him and say, oh, am I in heaven yet? Because he looks like Jesus, you know. So that's the kind of friend I have. You know, just, I'm very blessed. But, you know, I said to the Lord, I told him to give him a hug and a kiss, and I said, listen, no matter what goes wrong, whatever, you can always stay here. No matter what happens, I mean, he's very independent. He's a guy, you know. So, but he knows that if you're at the end of the rope, just crash in here and you know, this is home too. If you stay here, you'll never want for anything, because 98% of the time, since other things, the factors and people are not in my house that really drove me nuts. You know, I'm not going to name them, but they're not here anymore. And my house is 98% very peaceful, and it's filled with the Lord, okay? And that's what people find when they come into my house. They find peace. They find Jesus. They find a place to rest, a good meal, you know, a nice surrounding. You know what I'm saying? So it's like we have to remember that everyone we meet, we're meeting our Lord. He's hidden in them in a way. Maybe they don't realize it. Always address God in the other person, because he's there. And watch what happens. The person will not know why all of a sudden they feel peace and consoled, because Jesus is working inside of them. And I can address God in this person and see God in his eyes. Yeah, yeah. But
so
the lesson here is always remember everyone you meet. You know, since he's the soul of our soul, you're meeting our Lord. And he said, he and I, when I read, you are entertaining me when you have other guests over. So the message to the Lord in Oliver is, don't stress. If you have to hang out here a while, I'll take care of you. Don't worry, like a spouse, like a mother, like a friend, like a sister. You know what I'm saying? But we have a very respectful agape platonic relationship. It's like, I know Jesus. I mean, personally, he's my spouse, okay, in the spirit. But through this person, he's like a best friend. We're best spiritual friends, and a brother and a son. That's the feeling that we and I share together, like best friends, son or brother. That's what I'm knowing the Lord in this person, because he knows how crazy I am about Jesus, because Jesus has told him, and he knows that I'm crazy about the Lord. But it's interesting because I can address something to him, to God in him, and get an answer. You know, he knows all about the rapture stuff. He just smiles at me. Doesn't say anything. He just smiles at me. But he doesn't think I'm crazy. So that's enough. I'm just going to say that. So hopefully, you know, we learn to see Jesus in everybody. You know, because he's there. Well, he's proven it to me in this young man. Yeah, he's 47. Yeah, go ahead.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is right.
Yeah, I think that's an amazing point. I really, really do, because it almost made me forget what I want to ask you, but I'll remember in a second here. But I think that's a tremendous way to look at people. What a tremendous reminder to consider that there's, even if they don't know it, there's a part of God in them.
Oh, yes.
And
you can address God in
that
them.
Part.
This is easy for me with him, because God is in him. He says he can feel God's spirit in him, the Holy Spirit as well. So when can you imagine when this young man and I get together, it's like a piece of heaven on earth. It's almost like being with Jesus, and we're nothing but pure happiness. And even though he has a ton of stress, he tells me everything. He just pours his heart out to me. And I think I'm like Blessed Mother with listening to Jesus as her child, because he shares everything with me, everything. And you know, sometimes he's having that tears, and he knows he can just be any way he wants with me. He doesn't ever have to put on any kind of, you know what I'm saying? He can totally be himself, and he is with me, and he'll tell me everything, and I will just, console him and affirm him, and we pray together. So he leaves here peaceful when he came in so stressed. And I think of Jesus and Mary on earth when they were together, and Jesus had a really rough time for those 33 years. You can't tell me he didn't. People want to stone him, kill him, criticize him. You know, we can't imagine. And he would go home to Mommy Mary, and she's our mommy too, and tell her everything. And that's what I have with this young man. It's like Jesus in him can sit down and just let it all out, you know, and I'll give him a hug. We hug each other, and I give him a kiss on the neck. There's nothing, anything beyond that. It's just platonic, beautiful, because I'm very respectful around men, and because of what I suffered growing up, you know, with no men in my life and being near abused, and also a very tumultuous marriage with affairs and everything, I am very cautious around men. You know what I'm saying? I'm very respectful, yeah. and I, right. So I don't know. I don't want to get married again. Nothing, you know. I've had enough. It was very hard.
Yeah.
But I learned lessons.
Well,
you are
Mama Pat, so that's part of it. But
Well,
the other part of it is just we're friends in Christ. I mean, you know, we share a common spirit, and you know, I know that I have experienced, and other family members have experienced, when we cross paths with certain people who are people of faith, you just feel this extra connection that you can't, you know, we don't know each other that well, but we just know that they're trustworthy and that we share something in common.
I'll tell you something.
You can't identify.
Yeah. So one of my friends, the Lord spoke in her heart, because I said, you know, I really love this young man so much. I've known him a long time. I said, I'm so connected to Jesus and him. And Jesus told her, he says, he's your soulmate. He's your soulmate because of God in him.
Wow.
But
that's
in a
beautiful
platonic and agape. Yeah, but Jesus said, you're a soulmate with him because of the strength of God in him and the strength of God in me. We connect God to God in the human, but very respectful and very pure. You know, walking example of what Christ in people can be, the purity, the kindness, the affirmations, the unconditional love, the working together. And he knows. I said to him, and I know Jesus, because I said, Jesus and Oliver, I said, I told Oliver, whatever I do for you, it's because I'm doing this for the Lord. And I said, how easy is that to do that for you, to help you in any way I can, because I know you're so stressed. And of course, the enemy's coming at him every which way, you know, because you don't have Jesus in you like that strong and not have the enemy just sit in his hands. You know what I'm saying? And I'm here like the consoler and the one to pray with. And, you know, because we text each other, even when he's up in Vermont, we text each other and call. And it's this mother-son, best friend kind of relationship that we have. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a great blessing. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask you what his perspective is on the times we're in?
He doesn't really... He's listening to me. I mean, he's not really saying anything. When I mentioned it, he just gave me the smile. But I didn't feel. It's like God will when he's going to do, he's going to do. But he's not going to give dates or anything, you know. So I don't really press it or anything. He knows I'm online. He knows everything from A to Z, you know. He's so stressed right now, and I don't see him that often, and he doesn't stay that long because he had to run off and do the work for the house, and he had to meet his friend. So when he's here, mostly it's maybe in a couple of days I can get into it more, but he doesn't really talk about it. You know, maybe God doesn't want him to talk about it right now because maybe I'm not supposed to know stuff. Maybe none of us are, you know. We are getting, but we don't talk too much about that, but I know God is in him. But eventually I will ask the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe what do you have a word or something? And I'll let you guys know. But maybe not. Maybe this is not the, you know, what I'm going to hear or whatever. I don't know. Right now I'm trying to just console him for all the madness and craziness he's going through from other people just, coming at them, you know. It's rough. I've never seen anybody have so. I mean, I've had similar problems when I was married and stuff, but not like this poor man has. Oh my gosh, it's just unbelievable. And he's single. He's single. He's not married. You know, he was going to get married, but the girl cheated on him, and he's been hurt. You know, and he's very careful with relationships and stuff. You know, he doesn't want to go that route again. You know,
well,
but
I'm
sure he's got the Lord in him. Yeah.
I'm sure.
But if he says anything, I'll let you know. Yeah.
Yeah,
but he just smiled. Actually, I told him, "Rapture, I'm great," you know, and he just gave me this big smile, but he didn't say anything, you know. But sometimes
send our rapture-centric love to him. Okay.
Oh yes, he knows. He knows,
okay.
And eventually we'll come around. But God may not talk through him to me about that. You know, right now it's like I'm trying to just console him and get him through these trials that he's going through. I mean, they're off the charts. They're
right.
Just, I won't even go into it, but they're off the chart. And I'm like, I'm here, like, you know, just like a comfortable rocking chair or an old pair of slippers, you know, a comfy pillow for him, really, like I am to everybody,
well,
you know, that's what, yeah, so I'm very blessed, but keep him in prayer. And my landlady stopped by, and that was a surprise. And she's going to pray for him too, because she knows who he is, and she's a born again Christian. She's powerful in the Lord. So we're good Christian friends. And I had peonies growing, and I gave her a bunch of flowers to take, and I told her about the rapture, and she's just smiling at me. She says, "People don't know what to make of you when you start talking about the rapture." And she's a born again Christian. I think she's Lutheran, and she just I said, go online, and she just again like Oliver just smiled at me, gave me the smile like, you're probably right. He's going to come when he's going to come. But see, nobody's into. I said, go online and Google it. Put on rapture and see what comes on. So there's thousands getting the messages that we're ready to go. He's ready to take us, you know.
Yep.
And she said, I know she will because she loves the Lord with all her heart. But see, people are not even as spiritual as she is, Jerry. That's disturbing. She doesn't. She wasn't in on what. What are you talking about? Sure, she believes in the rapture, but like many people, it's like a zillion gazillion miles away. You know? Yeah.
We need to really be careful of what walls we plant ourselves within.
Oh.
And
I'm surprised that she wasn't more like fired up. You know. But I hope she Googles it because she'll see. I said, "The sound's getting messages. Check it out."
Maybe you lit a fire just by bringing it up. I think Judy may have called in. Judy, are you unmuted?
Yeah, I'm unmuted, but
honey.
Never going to interrupt Pat because what Pat is sharing is blessing me so much. And
good.
But I have something to share. But Pat, thank you so much. I love you so much. My sister and I, we have. We pray for you,
pray for those grandkids. Pray for those grandkids.
I like hearing about this friend of yours because I know you've had a rough marriage here on this earth, but we were praying that God would, would give you, the best husband ever in heaven.
Yeah, you got it.
I was like, maybe, you know, whatever. I know.
The thoughts have come to that, but it's like everybody knows I'm so in love with the Lord that I can't even think about being with anybody else. But it's so interesting. But Judy, it's so interesting because this person has Jesus in him, looks like a Jesus. It's just incredible, just incredible. I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed, but it's in the agape, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
It's precious, though. You know, God is giving people these wonderful, precious friendships even before he translates us. He's doing it with people. And sometimes it's that's all really you need is friends, you know, and then God can do what he wants, however he wants. But I just love it. I'm being really blessed hearing it. I know people in chat are, too. And
Why share everything? I mean, I'm very simple and little, and I share everything.
And I'm glad he's giving you someone to do that with because you deserve it because you deal with a lot of stuff and you bless a lot of people, and it just felt good to hear that you have something like that right now, and it's making me happy.
I am so blessed, sweetheart, when he walks in the house. It's like Jesus in the house.
Aww.
I'm kidding you. When you saw this man, and he's drop dead gore. I'll send you a picture. Without the beard, he has a little beard, and when he's on the cross with from the Passion Play, I mean, you would say one day he was here and he walked through. This is years ago. I've known him since he's five. He's 47, and he walked through the house with the hair and the beard, and he said to his, he looked at his hands and says, "I want to be the hands of Jesus," and I'm thinking, Jesus,
wow.
you're walking through my house. You're eating my meals. I had some clothes that I had that I even wore the clothes that I gave him that someone had given me, you know, because in case he's traveling back and forth, I said, "Here, take some extra stuff." He has my husband's stuff, and it's like just connected like you can't believe. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. So
wow.
I'm very blessed.
Wow.
So pray for him, though. He's got Judy, I'm going to inbox you, and it's going to be private because I want you to hear what this man is going through so you can pray extra hard. It's not anything I want to put out publicly because I don't feel that's right. But when I tell you what's going on with this man, you're going to hit the floor and cry. But because God is in him so strong, we know all these people who don't have God in their heart are coming at him.
Yeah, that's so, love it. I love it. Yeah, be sure and email me. And I want to share
Roman email. But it's private.
Okay.
It's totally private. But
stop,
you pray hard for him.
No.
I'm very private about that. I mean, I'm not going to tell his business. But it's serious. Yeah.
Hey, you want to I'm part of
Keith. Oh, sure.
Part
hi, honey.
Oh.
Hi,
yeah.
Honey.
Oh, hi, Keith. Love you, Keith.
Hi, Keith. So glad you're with us.
Part of being rapture-centric is part of the rapture bride at this last hour is getting a whole bunch of a lot of the rapture-centric bride are getting a lot of words. It's new revelation. It's not in the Bible, although it's biblical to get new revelation, and it's biblical. A lot of the revelations are biblical, but they're not in the Bible, so people feel very uncomfortable receiving them, especially if they don't have a really close walk with the Lord or they're tied more to their Bible than a personal relationship. It might be hard for them to receive. So I understand that because if this was 20 years ago and I hadn't been in the Lord so long, I may have fallen in that category. But, you know, the Lord's pouring out His Spirit on people in this last hour. He poured His Spirit on our 10-year-old, and I've given you the things He's told them. But it's up to everybody if they want to take it and receive it or not. You know, nobody at Rapture-Centric Church has to believe anything anyone says. You can still be a part of this church. There's a couple people from this church that I know that have asked God to not be translated, to be left behind because of their family issues. And that's wonderful because they want to get people saved, and that's okay. But this bride is going to be translated, and you can ask the Lord. And I'm sure He'll grant your request. I don't know. It's between you and Him. But when my sister asked, He said yes. Because my sister is RCC, and she loves everyone, you know. She really does. She's like hides in the chat room, and she works a lot. But she listens, you know. So she's part of it. And I only saying all this to say that, you know, as people get these revelations and share them, some people will say, "This is what the Lord is saying. I'm confidently telling you this," or some people will say, "I believe this is what the Lord is saying. Take it to Him and see what He tells you." So, you know, Roman just sent me a word, and he is saying, "This is a revelation. I believe it is from God, and I'm not sure, so use your discernment," but he wants me to share it, and I'm so happy to share it because, you guys, like Keith says, I did a video today on this, and I talked about what Keith says. Take what God tells you to take and spit out what He tells you to spit out, but do it tastefully. Don't tell somebody in a rude way, something like, just be like, "Thank you, God, that they hear you, and then I got blessed by part of what they said." And the other part, even though I don't necessarily receive it, it doesn't mean it's not for somebody to receive. It's just not for me to receive, you know, or you've given me different revelation. But, you know, I made a boo-boo yesterday, and I apologized to somebody in chat, and I actually was like, "That's wrong." And after I've told everybody, we can disagree, but we can just love each other. And I apologized to my lovely Kishon. He's not in the chat room yet, but I said, "I'm so sorry. I called him on the phone, and I was wrong." And the Lord was like, "You're not supposed to do that." I was like, you guys, we're human beings, and we get really passionate. When the Lord is speaking to you and giving you revelation, I don't know quite how to explain it, but those that are getting it, they'll understand what I'm saying. You get so pumped up in what He's showing you because, like, God has shown certain people things, and they're like, "Yes, this is the way it is. He told me." But the thing is, that's okay. You can be excited, and you should be, because I certainly am when I get stuff, and I certainly am when God tells me to listen to other people's stuff and tells me, "Yes, that's right." I get pumped, okay? But the thing is, last night I was really tired. I was had a bunch of kids, and I was just caught off guard, and I was like, wait, someone said, you know, he said something that I didn't, I was like, no, that's not how it's going to happen, and I totally apologize, because that's what God showed him. You can't just make this stuff up. I know Kishon. Kishon is like an 18-year-old prophet of the Lord who hears God, and he gets persecuted. He's from an Indian family. They make him worship at the Hindu temple, and
oh, yeah.
And he, I mean, he gets persecuted, you guys. We are his only family. We really are.
Wow.
And I felt,
wow.
And I was like, but the Lord really, he really spanked me fast. He was like, wait. And it was really funny because it was really innocent on my part. I wasn't trying to be rude or anything. I was just like, no, that's not, but that's what God had shown me. But see, some of the revelations we get, it's personal, and we share them, and it's
yep.
a safe place. RCC is a safe place to share your stuff. It's a safe place.
Yep.
And
yeah.
if somebody doesn't agree, the best thing to do is to not say anything and just love that person and spit out, you know. But the thing is, I was just overworked, I think, and I made a boo-boo, and I apologized. But the thing is, then the Lord went on further to tell me after I apologized, after I, you know, apologized, he said, now, part of this revelation, he said, this is right, even though it didn't fit in with the time frame I showed you. He said, for certain people, I have certain jobs. So, and
yep.
I was like, wow. So what I'm saying is this, when God gives you a word, he'll also give you instructions. Sometimes it's just for you individually. Sometimes it's corporately. All the words that he's spoken through my son have been for the bride at large. But then we haven't shared, and they've been for our family. Some of the things he shared with me, you know, I try to make it clear, this is what the Lord's saying. I'm not saying it. And then sometimes I've said, here's what the Lord led me to believe. You know, but just, you guys, God's not sitting here looking for error in you, okay? But he wants us to feel comfortable in this last hour sharing stuff and not getting beat up for it. There's people that I've talked to that just simply have isolated themselves because they get so beat up by Christians. Everybody, not even Christians are nice to them because their stuff is so out there. Their revelations
yeah.
are so bizarre. But, you know, I want to be a person where I can listen because, I mean, I don't know if it gets any more bizarre than what happened to our family. I'm like, no. Tell me all your stuff, because I believe me, I lived in the bazaar, okay?
Seven months,
off the charts. I mean, and this is going to increase until he gets here. It's going to get more and more off the charts. Well, so now I want to preface that with what I'm about to read from Roman, okay? And this is going to bless some people who've been given revelation. Some people are going to really love this word, and if you don't, just, you know, take it to the Lord, but I'm going to read it. Here it goes. This is what Roman says. He says, I believe this is a revelation from God that I got. I'm not sure, so use your discernment that God has given you. And I'm going to, here it is. All the harvests start at Pentecost. There are three harvests. The barley, which is, he's saying the translation, the wheat, which he's saying is the rapture, and the grape, the trib saints. And this is what Roman is saying. The angels start harvesting at Pentecost, and the first harvest is the barley. We all get translated at Pentecost. The first harvest. Then the wheat harvest happens up to 1 to 6 weeks after we get translated at Pentecost. I believe the Holy Spirit will fall on the rapture bride, wheat harvest, and they will receive gifts, anointing, abilities, and speak in different tongues, just like the apostles did 2,000 years ago. The rapture bride will get people ready, and maybe a revival will break out through all the nations before the rapture. This all starts at Pentecost. I believe the real date for Pentecost is
yeah.
June 7th. So thank you for sharing that. It was a lot to write in the chat room, so I told him to email it and I would read it. So thank you, Roman, for sharing it. And I think I was blessed by it, certainly. And I always take everything to the Lord, but, you know, the Lord is, that sounds a lot like what Blah was shown. It sounds a lot like what I've heard from Kishon. And, you know,
I've heard this.
I don't know if you, and I'm not sure if you guys know that. You know, yeah, cool word, Roman. And I'm glad Gemma's feeling better, Gemma. Oh, good, he's writing it in the chat room, too, for those of you that want it. And if you want me to forward it on your email, I will. Again, thank you, Jerry, for hosting. I'm going to mute myself. I just wanted to share that. And I love everybody. I
love
you,
guys. Too, honey.
I'm helping
okay.
kids with homework
love you,
now, but I'm listening. Yeah, I'm listening, and I can't wait to hear everybody call in and share. And I love you. Bye, Keith.
Sure.
Good hearing
you.
Your voice.
Bye.
Yeah, that's right.
And Jerry and Pat, right? Is that who's on the phone?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
we got
so.
Keith and Jerry
okay.
and Pat,
awesome.
And then Joe, and then I've got another 818.
That's Tana.
Tana, baby.
I've got Tana.
Okay.
And then I've also
okay,
got
bye,
another
guys.
9
love
1.
You.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Right. And there's another 914. Who's the other 914-299?
Oh, that's Stacy.
That's me.
Hi, Stacy.
Later on.
Hi, honey.
Hi,
hi.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Tana.
Okay. I don't know if I can share before Tana gets off the phone.
Oh, yeah, I'm listening.
From what, this is not from me, but for what Roman had said, I really do agree with her, with him, because I read that in the Cyrus barn somewhere too, with the grape and the mustard seed, and it's I'll send in the dream, but I believe that he's right. But I was on my way home today, and the Spirit of the Lord just, like, ministering to me, and I was just really just crying. And what he was trying to tell me is that the translation is a gift. He's given us a gift. We could just die and just go to heaven. And he was just showing me Keith. He was showing me Raina. He was showing me Judy, just everyone that's a part of her family. And he said to me that you don't know what these people have been through. They've been through hell and back. And I looked at myself, and I was just weeping. He said, it's a gift. I'm giving you all this gift. He said, there's many people in our church that we don't know what they've been through, but he knows, and he's, like, giving the, he's going to translate us as a gift, or even as a reward for the stuff that we've been through. And what he went on to tell me is that he marked us. Before we were born, we were marked for this purpose. And the enemy saw that mark on us, and he knew that we were there was something special about us. And that's the reason why. And that's the reason why we've been through so much trial and tribulation in our lives. Sometimes we wonder why those trials and tribulation came. It's because we had that mark in our life, and the Lord was. I'm sorry, my daughter is acting up. and it's, so that was really encouraging to me. That was really encouraging to me because the Lord was just showing me, because I often wonder why I went through some of the stuff I went through in my life. And but God was just like building character in us, and he said it's a gift. Keith is the gift. He's giving you the translation as a gift.
Wow.
And maybe we probably won't even understand it, but we could have been born in another century. We could have been born in another time zone, in a timeline era. But
yeah,
he put us now, and it's going to be a gift. Whatever he's about to do in our life, it's a gift. And I believe what Roman said, we're going to be translated, and then it was just, I can't hardly explain how he was just explaining it to me, but
yeah,
he showed me you all. He showed me all my family, and he said some of us don't even know what some of us have been through, but we've been through, if you really check each of us background or our life story, we've been through hell. We've been through hell and back.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm sorry. I'm going to mute my phone so I can put my... I'm sorry.
Thanks so much.
Oh, that's okay,
thanks,
honey.
Thanks so much, Stacey.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey. That's awesome. Thank you. I
that's
love
great,
you.
Honey.
I
love you.
Love you, honey.
Love
let
you,
me go lock my kids up.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Love you,
I love hearing your babies.
Oh?
Yeah.
Tana will be
here
at the same time, Tuesday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday,
birthday.
Little one.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yes,
happy birthday.
Hey, can
aww,
we sing happy birthday to her? You want to put on the song?
Oh, yes. Happy birthday to
happy
Maya.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to you.
That's
happy
so
birthday
yes,
to
happy
you.
Happy birthday to Maya.
Oh,
oh, how sweet.
Say
oh,
hi.
Hi.
Say I love you.
Nice, baby.
Love,
love
you.
You.
We love
oh,
you.
Oh, how sweet, Stacey. Precious.
That's Sophie, the 3-year-old that says she wants to go home.
Oh.
She wants to point it up to the ceiling. She wants to go home.
Wow.
Beautiful. Wow, look at that, huh? Out of the mouth of the baby.
Yep.
No, that's great. Oh, that's
really
great.
I love how what you were saying earlier about, you know, and that's just, think, go ahead. Baby's on.
Oh.
And I think that's like, you know, like Jesus says in the Bible, remember the goats and the sheep, one's going to be in the right, one's going to be in the left. And then, you know, and then he says, you know, when I was sick, you did not take care of me. And when I was poor, you did not help me, you know. And then the goats are going to say, well, wait a minute, Lord. They'll be using the word Lord because all of a sudden they're afraid they're going to hell. Wait a minute, Lord. When were you sick and when were you poor? And that's when Jesus says, the way you treated the least of them is the way you treated me. You know,
right.
So when you were talking about treating everybody like you treat Jesus, I really emphasize that with people that are close to God. Don't forget about the fact that you're treating everybody like you're treating Jesus, you know.
Right.
And it really is true, you know. It is really, really true. I had a good time at the deliverance last night.
Yeah.
It was really, I wanted to talk about that a little bit, Jerry, if that's all right with you.
No, go ahead. That's
sure,
great.
Go ahead.
You sound great. You sound really good, Keith, by the way.
Hmm. Oh, good. Yeah, I feel a lot better. I do. Thank you. Thank you so
good.
Much. It was over, like, where we went last week to get prayed over. I actually drove. Now, that's a miracle of God. And I walked in the store by myself.
Wow.
I didn't bring the wheelchair or anything. It was a miracle.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I said, Lord, I'm going in faith. I'm not gonna sit in a wheelchair. I'm gonna walk because I'm walking in faith. So you know you have to make your word is good. So I'm walking. So you better help me. So we went there. It was the house of prayer where we went last week, and the energy is so good there. It's like a little ghost town, and it's so quiet and calm in the desert, and so peaceful. And oh man, it's so nice. But they're just. They love Jesus there. Let me tell you, it's so thick in the room. You just go, wow, you know.
Wow.
But it was Carol was there, not the Carol from RCC. She hasn't come visit me yet. But it was other, you know, this woman Carol, and then the Clara. Clara was just when she had emailed me, I could see into her spirit. She's like a sponge. She's just such a feeler, like Pat is. She's just so loving and. And it was so funny because I was emailing her appointments about, oh, I can't do this time, but maybe let's try to do that time because I was trying to figure out time for my eating because I have to eat a lot. So trying to figure out the time of my schedule. And my brother was emailing her on his computer, and then she's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so confused because sometimes as twins we tend to do that. We have each other at the same time. So he was emailing her, and I was emailing her, and then she was, oh, my gosh, finally she said, I got all this straightened out. And I go, well, we are twins, so we're just going to switch the appointment. She's we do that
wow.
a lot too.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I got there and she was laughing. Oh my God! But it was great because it was a deliverance. But it wasn't. I've had deliverances before where you know they just try to cast out every demon they possibly can. As Christians, demons don't come inside of us, but they do oppress us. You know, they can oppress us. I should say. So, yes, a demon can oppress you. It can definitely cause all your problems in your life coming from demons. So it can't come inside of you if you're saved because the Holy Spirit and demon cannot reside in the same vessel. But he can try to oppress you. So some Christians freak out over that, but you don't need to freak out about it. You know, if you saw into the spirit realm around you, just see them going at it, you know, angels defending you and the demons going at it at the same time, you know, all the time. But this was a really cool deliverance because usually, like I said, with deliverances, they try to find the name of the demons, and then you're supposed to tell them what comes into your mind, and then, you know, then they list all the names, and they spend like 2 hours, and then they just cast them all out, and, you know, it gets a little crazy. Sometimes with deliverance, too, with deliverance ministries, I'd say the hardest thing for me getting prayed over, honestly, is the judgment that I get. You have no idea how much judgment comes against me. I have people that pray over me and are saying that I deserve it because of my past sin and I'm sowing what I'm reaping.
Terrible.
Oh, you have no idea. Oh, I have people saying God is punishing me or I'm, you know, I just, you know. Oh, it's just, yeah, when you have someone pray over you, they feel
that's
like...
That's retarded.
They feel it's a license to judge you, you know, and I always go, wow, I guess that's how you pray for Jesus, huh? But, you know, Jesus did not go around the crowds and ask about their past sins. he said, you are healed by your faith. And that's it. So, yeah, I just, you know, I always discern heavily these people that pray for me because before I spare judgment, because they're just trying to throw me in with the, you know, I've heard it all. Let me see. Oh, boy, I've heard it all. It's horrible. And even when you don't feel good, then they come against you. It's really bad, you know. So that's why I say, Jesus says, that's why God says in the Bible, if you don't do anything out of love, then you can take all your stuff, that whole thing can be burnt, right? Everything you got, you can put it in a ball and you can just drop it in the trash can. Because to God, you're worthless. And I've seen a lot of these ministries where, you know, they're on TV and blah, 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 and then I will call them and they will be, you have no idea. I've called so many healers and their secretary, the wife, has been so nasty to me. It's unbelievable. It's vicious, just nasty, bad attitude. Oh, yeah. I'd say, to be honest with you, out of all the healers out there, probably over half the time the secretary or the wife is the you-know-what towards me. Real nasty, real mean, bad attitude.
Wow.
It's just, oh, yeah. And it's amazing because Jesus has told me so many times. He said, Keith, when I have you contact people, I'm contacting them to see how they would respond. So he is like testing them in some way, saying, let's see how strong your ministry is, you know. But this place was so full of love. These women were so sweet. And so this ministry was really cool because it was just about, I thought it was very intriguing. That's why I wanted to bring it up. So she asked me about my father. My parents kicked us out when we were 16 years old, so we were on the street. And we didn't hear from our relatives in like over 25 years, and I had no idea about them. Yeah, it was crazy stuff, you know. I moved to San Francisco where my uncle died of AIDS in front of me, and then I lived with his friend, and he died, and I couldn't move fast enough. It was bad. I saw it all. It was crazy stuff. I was living at a hotel in San Francisco, and there was drugs. It was bad.
Wow.
But, oh, yeah. I've been through the gamut. But she says, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to look at your, you know, whatever. But it's interesting because she said, so your relationship with your father is going to be your relationship of how you see Father God. And I'm sure some people have heard this before. It's very intriguing.
Yeah.
I said, well, I see my dad as, you know, rules and regs. He loves me, but, you know, love is just sort of something he registers on the scale because he, you know, wanted to look good. But other than that, he only does it because he has to, you know, which my dad never did anything for me. So that's how I've always seen. I've had to really work on my relationship with God because I always see God as rules and regs. You know, and I really worked on that because sometimes I get set with him. I just see him as rules and regs and no compassion. So I've really, really worked on that, you know, and I've learned to, I know those are things that when I say that to God, I'm discerning that it's a false belief. And we all have false beliefs about God, you know, and I always say, Lord, I know that's a false belief because I'm discerning it. It's wrong. So I'm sorry for saying that, you know. We all have false belief systems, you know, and it's a lot of times, I feel a lot of times your relationship with God is based on what God has done for you, okay? Because if you look at some of the greatest healers that walked the earth, they were healing, like, thousands of people, and they thought God was just amazing. And then you look at people that are going through so many hardships, you know, and they just feel like God let them down. I mean, not the RCC bride, but you know what I'm saying. It is, a lot of times it will depend on your reality, too, you know? But anyway, so she said, your relationship with Father God is the same as similar how your dad was. So that was something I always had to work on. Then she said, So this was so cool. So she would say, now I want you to go to Father God, close your eyes, and can you see Father God? And this was the greatest part because the vision, the stuff that I was getting from God was as if he was there in real time. It was like real life. It was so crystal clear. It was clearer than any vision I've had. It was like real time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she would say, ask Father God right now, you know, this is what you said you feel he's like, so let's ask God if that's a lie or not. And God was like, immediately I saw him on the throne and he was talking to me. It was so cool, really cool. And then and he would say, this is wrong, or always out of love. And then we would cut the cord of that belief system, you know.
Mm.
So for people out there, you know, look at your relationship with God and what you see as him. And if those are false beliefs, then you repent for those, you know, because we have a lot of false beliefs, you know. So then she said, which was really cool, your relationship with your siblings, your brothers and sisters, is your relationship with Jesus. She goes, I bet you're really close to Jesus. I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, because you're really close to your twin brother, Ken. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is wild. Yeah, it's totally wild. So I always say, like, Jesus is my favorite one because I'm extra close to him, you know. He's like my one that I call for protection, for symptoms, for everything. So I use him like 24 hours a day. He's real busy with me, you know. And I was calling him, oh, Lord, could you move that car to the road? They're bothering me. I think they're dangerous. Get them out. And he'll move the car. And, oh, Lord, I don't like the weather today. Could, in Jesus' name, move it. And, yeah, I'm always, Lord, I need you. Do this, do that, you know. This person's bothering me. Lord, stop them, please, you know. And he'll just do whatever. So I've been, yeah, so it's interesting because, you know, my relationship with my brother is really, really close because we're twins. And then so my relationship with Jesus is close. And then she, so then she would say, what false belief, you know, what do you see Jesus as? I see him as my comforter. Jesus is like my older brother. He's always there for me. He's always physically there. He's like a, she goes, now picture Jesus in your mind. What is he doing with you? I said, he's always holding my hand. So, okay, so you see him as very close. And then we would go, I would close my eyes and we'd go to Jesus and ask him if I had any lies that I was believing about him. And then he told me a few. And then we'd cut those cords. So then she said, now your relationship with your mother is your relationship, how you see the Holy Spirit. And my relationship with my mom was, I said, well, she goes, what was your relationship with my mother? I said, horrible. She's a mother, but on paper, but manipulative, liar, you name it, you know. Because my mom hired a private investigator and went after us for like 10 years, and our apartments, we'd come home and everything would be gone out of them. Yeah, this went on for like 10 years, you know, it's crazy stuff. So I go, and it's weird because she goes, so what about your relationship with the Holy Spirit? I go, well, to be honest with you, it was only a year ago before I even talked to the Holy Spirit because I never really had a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I didn't really, like in Baptist church, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. So I just, even when I came back in 2011, I never talked to the Holy Spirit. I just ignored the Holy Spirit, spent all my time with Jesus. And it was interesting because your relationship with your mother was like that, you know? You didn't trust her, so why would you trust the Holy Spirit? I'm like, oh my gosh, so true. In fact, last year I had to ask a couple of my YouTube friends in private about the Holy Spirit, and they're like, oh my gosh, Keith, you know everything about the Lord practically these days. What's going on? You get visions, you don't know the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I just don't know, I'm sorry. So they would help me, you know. And so I've had to learn to trust the Holy Spirit, you know, and it's been very challenging. So they just have that natural and non-trusting thing. I trust Jesus.
Yeah.
And then, right, you see what I'm saying? So look at your own relationship. If your own relationship with your mom, that's how you had vision, you know, see the Holy Spirit, and then your siblings would be, you know, Jesus, and then your father would be God, you know? We compare them to our earthly, you know. So it was so cool. So then she looked at my past, which, so funny. She goes, Keith, you're making this so easy for me because you're not, you're already seeing in the spirit realm. I'm already telling you, here's the problem, here's what we need to do for the solution. So she has a paper there of all the problems. I said, I grab that thing out of her hand. I said, she goes, here's the category of all your sins. I go, oh, I've done all those, so let's just cover them all.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was like a cult was like one, any involvement with the New Age, which I was heavily involved with. Past lifestyle, sexual morality, all the drugs, you know, I've been through it all. So it was cool because then she said, okay, so we cut those cords. She like I had abandonment issues and rejection, and I never felt love, so I always wanted to have a perfect body and be perfect in everything I did, just to be accepted because I thought I had to be perfect, you know,
yeah.
And I still have that mentality. I still do. So we cut all those cords, and I felt really, she brought up some cool stuff. I felt really horrible that my best friend that I, you know, like, I got him involved in the New Age, so I felt guilty for that.
God forgives you everything.
But, you know, I'm helping. It's like I just talked to him just now, and I talked about Jesus, and he's now accepting that, so that's a huge, huge, huge thing. I mean, it was so cool. So here's the cool part. So we cut those cords of fast. Which I think I was crying, like, the whole time. It was horrible. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm not a cry. I'd never cry. I was like, okay, we're going through box issue number four. Oh, my gosh, it's so bad. Yeah, it was crazy. So here's the cool part. She said, now you're going to court, okay? You're going to go to court. So you go to court. You go to court with Jesus, okay? This part's cool. So I'll try not to cry. So you go to court with Jesus. It is so cool. Well, first she said, every time you would go, okay, Jesus would say, Keith, that's a lie, false belief. So then I would repent for it. And then she would say, now ask Jesus what you get in return. And he was giving me all kinds of gifts. And then I couldn't open them, though. One was like a heart-shaped box, and there was tools and gifts in there. And then he said later the giftings would open up more stuff. So he gave me lots of gifts, and God gave me love, and it was really cool stuff. You always get something back. So So then she would say, ask Jesus to seal that door, because we just cast those qualities out, and we sealed. And I would see him put in his blood over the door, and then we would assign an angel to watch over the blood to seal that door, like for a cult or whatever you're involved with. And then that way an angel would guard it, and I would see an angel there. I'd see this, like, in real time. It was, like, amazing. So the angel would guard that so then no spirits would come through that door again. And then, so she said, now's the big deal. So now we're going to court, and this is the cool part. So we're going to court. You're going to court with Jesus, and he is representing you. It's so funny. So we're going to court, and God is the judge, okay? And the enemy is over there accusing you. And I saw this, like, real time. It was so cool. And Jesus would stand there, and I would say, you know, God would say, okay, here's your charges, so, you know, and you'd repent for them, right? So it's funny. And then Jesus would say, I covered them in the blood, right, which is so cool. Gosh, I was so crying over this stuff. It was crazy. But anyway, and then God would say, then she would say, now ask God to make a judgment on the situation, you know. So he would, like, he had his hammer and he would slam it down and he would say, innocent, you know. And then she said, sometime at one point he just wrote on the paper approved and then he stamped it. So he would write down,
aww,
you know, yeah. And then she said, now you've got your judgment and it's in your favor. So anytime so she goes, yeah. She goes, now you go on in your life. And anytime the enemy tries to come against you with these past things, you know, you tell him, I have a verdict against you, and here it is. So back off. And that's basically how
right.
it worked. You know, it was so
wow.
cool. It was just wonderful. That's what I got to
wow.
share.
Thank you. That was great.
That's beautiful.
That is really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Thanks, Keith. You're
thank
welcome.
You, honey.
We have, that was, yeah. We have 410 who's called in. 410, talk to us. Are you there?
Oh, sorry. It's just Leah. I don't have my
hi,
cell
Leah.
Phone as it, and so
you're
I
not,
called from my house.
You're not
hi,
just
sweetie.
Leah. You're Leah.
Hi, Leah.
You're just Leah.
You are Leah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
Oh, how you doing, honey?
Okay.
I'm doing well.
Good,
you know,
honey.
It was
good.
A good day, right? I'm happy. What about you guys?
Yeah.
Amen.
You're
doing
well. Going
home. Amen. Oh, my God.
Keith's story was, like, really, really
definitely.
Cool. That was awesome, Keith.
Yes.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Hi,
Leah. Very awesome.
Hi, Tana. I love you.
Tana. Great.
Love your laugh.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, it's so cute.
God is so faithful.
Yes.
Hi, Casey. Love you, girl.
Bye, honey. Do you know, when I was on my way home, too, he gave me, I don't know where it is in Isaiah, but where it says, the righteous are taken away and no one consider it, that they're taken from the stuff to come. He brought that to me, and usually when I would read that scripture, I would think that, okay, when people die early. But no, he's talking about the translation. He was talking about, and it really agrees with what Little John says, that we're going to be taken before the destruction comes. And I don't know where in Isaiah that scripture is, where it said the righteous is taken away, and no one really consider that they're taken away from the stuff to come. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not really sure. I think it's somewhere in Isaiah, so if somebody can be somebody who knows the Bible pretty well. I was a Bible school dropout, so. maybe they'll find
don't
it. Maybe they'll find it, but he gave me that when I was on my way home. And that when he was really saying that, how he's given us this as a gift. Because they're not going to consider that, oh, it's a gift when we're taken, we're translated. They're going to think that, oh, they did something wrong or, you know what I mean? Something like that. But God just wants us to know that it's a gift to us. He's given us a gift. And I just thank God for that. So he's
yeah.
faithful.
Yeah. Thanks, Stacey. That's Isaiah 57:1. I'll read 56:12, which is the last verse before that. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. And then here we go. And 57:1, the righteous perisheth, this is a King James, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness.
Woo, beautiful.
Are taken away.
There you go.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You know,
we're going to be taken away from the evil to come.
Yes,
praise
ma'am.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
And we're going to sleep in our bed. So tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, tonight, today, absolutely. Go. Come on. Where's Carol? She's supposed to be telling the Salvation Station locomotive to get out of here. What is her deal? Come on, Carol, get with it. So I thought maybe we'd do communion a little bit. Sorry. I thought we'd do communion maybe a little bit earlier tonight. Is that okay with everybody?
Are you getting hungry, Jerry?
No, I made sure I ate something before the show.
Okay.
Not much. Not much. But I thought we would do communion a little bit earlier tonight, and what I want to do is let's describe it briefly. But I have Carol or Pat. Pat, are you ready with?
Oh yeah, I have this to read. You only want me to read till 11 because boy, this goes over to the first one of 18, but it might take too long to read. So no, we're a half hour now. So I'll read to 11.
Let me just set it up here, and then I'll have you read, because I should explain where we're at here. I'm going to have Pat read out of John, and this is part of Jesus' prayer that he said, which would have occurred at the Last Supper, and it's recorded in John. And he doesn't really recite the communion, but he does include this prayer from Jesus, and I think it's really useful for us, especially in this time, to remember where we stand with him and who we are with him, because this particular prayer is for us.
Amen.
Yeah.
So Jesus did tell us in the Last Supper, told the apostles, to take the bread as in remembrance of his body and the cup as in remembrance of the wine that was spilled on our behalf as the sacrifice and atonement for our sins. But on this occasion, he also said this prayer, and this was just before he went out to give himself up to the betrayal of Judas and go to the cross. So, Pat, would you read?
Sure. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one.
Thank you, Pat. I'm beautiful as always. So he really identified those who follow and believe in him as a group set apart, a group that is special to him, and one that he has particular care over, even above all the other control of the world that he has. And so this prayer was said at the time of communion. Let us take the bread right now. And the cup. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, as always, because it's such a special time to remind us and get as close as we can to both your physical sacrifice and your spiritual offering that was your death on the cross. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for being in our lives and being available to us. And we seek you in this day and look eagerly for your love and our opportunity to share it with you. In Jesus' name. I'm going to play a little bit longer song here, and I'm just going to encourage everybody to spend a little extra prayer time during this song.
Thank you, Father, for all this time and all these things that we have laid at your feet. You know, you're faithful and true. And we lift them up to your power and your wisdom. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We have a new caller in.
Oh, cool.
We have someone at 530. Who do we have? It's 530.
Hello. Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Oh, hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Yeah, I called a few days ago, maybe like a week ago.
And?
Oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
I've been praying for everybody who prayed for me, gave me words of encouragement, because it's like really helped me so much. And I just felt inspired to gather with the bride this afternoon. I felt like Jesus was kind of like prompting me to hang out with you guys, and this is the soonest I could call. So
great.
Here I am.
How you doing, man? Elizabeth, how you doing? How's
way better. A lot
great
better.
Good.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, that was a huge breakthrough.
Good.
I called
good. Got
in to talk to you guys,
wow.
So thank
good.
You. So
oh,
what's been going on today on the show and with all of you guys?
Matt was talking about her friend, and then I shared with about deliverance. I had like a deliverance thing last night.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really cool. And at the very end, I forgot to share that when she prayed over me at the end, like, she didn't say nothing. She just put her hands over mine and she prayed, and the whole room filled full of love. Like, you could feel the whole room filled full. I could see it, too. It was like a white
wow.
light that was covering the whole room.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, the deliverance was powerful. You know, it's good stuff. It gets rid of things in our past, qualities and spirits of different, you know.
Yeah.
So it was amazing. I'm going to go through a prayer thing tonight, too, where they're going to pray over me again, and I'm standing in faith for my healing on it as well.
Cool.
I'm so happy for you, Elizabeth, though. I'm so happy. See, those words, God just shared with me just now about you, just a second, that the words that we spoke over you, he put the power of the whatever was needed in those words to break the stronghold. That's what he just told me.
I believe it, because there was, like, a big shift. Like, there's been
right
a big
on.
Shift. That was, like, the
wow.
breakthrough that I needed,
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Wow. I know you sound good. When we see your spirit, your spirit's good. You look, sound good.
Good.
Way better. Yeah.
Yay. So, who's on the phone tonight?
We've got...
Well,
Kat,
let's see.
Me and Jerry. Who else?
Now we've got Tana, I think, still.
Yeah.
And Judy just called back in.
Ooh.
Oh, good.
Judy?
Jerry, the reason why I called in, Jerry, this is really important. Elizabeth, your number is showing up on the call board, and I was wondering if Jerry could write it down and give it to me, because there's a person or two that inquired about you after you called, and they wanted to... He just had some blessings for you and wanted to know how to contact you. So everyone that I know that wants to contact you is a nice and safe person. And
I believe
hurt you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, Jerry, would you mind writing down her number from the call board and, like, giving it to me through email or texting or something? I would love that.
Yeah,
I'm calling in on a line that I can't get called back on, so let me give you a number that you can call on. But just hold on for 1 second, because I don't have it memorized, so just a moment.
Okay, yeah.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay, thanks. And you guys, we are, like, a really close family here, and you know, we do really care about Elizabeth, and a lot of us share our phone numbers. You know, I've given mine out. Anyone can call me, what'll happen sometimes is you just have a word of encouragement or something for somebody. So far I've found this is a really safe place to give your phone number out. I haven't heard of anyone getting stalked other than love, stalked with love and kindness.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I honestly could even give my phone number out right here. Yeah, I don't care.
And there's some people, you know, we've missed you, Elizabeth. We've all been saying, I wonder if she's going to call in. Thanks for calling in. So, I'll take that.
I know,
that
I just want to spend more and more time with you guys. I'm, like, so excited. Okay, so I'm going to give you everybody a phone number and an email address, and so hopefully we can all get in better touch.
Okay.
So my phone number is area code 530-601-8942, and my email address is Bethany Magdalene, BethanyMagdalene@yahoo.com.
you
just want to spell Bethany Magdalene again, honey?
It's B-E-T-H-A-N-Y.
Okay.
M-A-G-D-A-L-E-N-E at yahoo.com.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. I got it. Okay.
And this phone number is a business phone.
Go help with the kids. Bye, guys.
All right, bye, Judy.
Bye, honey.
But, yeah,
bye,
anyway.
All right, sweetie.
That's great.
Great.
Well, thanks. Thanks so much, Elizabeth, for calling in because, you know, it's mm-hmm. a blessing for us to just have an opportunity to pray for people and hear how things go. So that's mm-hmm. that's how he works. And,
yeah.
And that's, you know, this is a family.
Oh yeah.
So
hello.
So it's, I have Stacy.
Mhm. Yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
Hold on one minute.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. Okay. And our train conductor has called in, and we're going to find out why the train has not left the station yet. Is that Carol?
Yes.
Hi, Carol.
And the,
hi,
the
Carol,
train.
Lady conductor.
Professor,
no, she's the engineer. She's running the train.
that's too funny. I'm not home. I'm driving, and I'm on my way home. So I thought, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and call and listen in on the show. So I'm gonna have to go home and listen to the whole show.
That's okay.
If I make it home, because I may have to listen to the show on the way up because it's translation day.
Isn't it? Carol, I was just thinking about you. Carol, can you hear me?
Yeah, I did. I can. Yeah, Stacy. You know, hey,
yeah.
Everybody in chat. I love
hi.
You all. I'm pulling a ton on you all. I love you, Chad. I love you, Jesus.
Amen.
I love you, Church. I love you, Anna. That's why I'm doing it. I'm not making fun of you.
Oh,
I'm
no,
laughing
of course
with you. I love you, Tana, if you're listening. I love everybody.
Love Tana.
Oh, sure. We love
but
you, too, honey.
I wanted Carol to hear, because Carol, I wanted you to hear the revelation that the Lord, I mean, he showed me you today too, when I was on my way home, that the trials that you've been through and everything, that the translation is a gift that he's given us, and I saw you came into my vision too on my way home. But what I was really thinking about now, and you guys probably have heard me said it, and I'm led to really, because I thought that Carol and I spoke today. You remember how Elisha and Elijah saw each other when before he, I think it's Elijah that went up.
Elijah went up, yes.
Yeah, God brought me back to when my coworker and I was walking. This was like almost a year and a half or 2 years ago when I had the vision that we were walking. I looked up in the sky, and I knew that I was about to go. And I said it to her, that it's about to happen. And I remember walking with her, and then she crossed over the other side. And I remember yelling at her, do not take the mark. And I remember having the heavens open up like a zipper. And the angels came down, and the Lord just brought that back to me and brought back what you said to me today, that it's like Elisha and Elijah. And I'm not saying I'm talking
right.
about it. Because she
right.
saw me. She saw me went up. She
so
saw
she was
me
like
went
Elisha.
Up.
She was Elisha, and you were Elijah.
Yeah. And that's just amazing.
It's
brought it back to me.
You know, and to me, and I will say it again, everybody, the revelation I received, because I have questioned the Lord for, you know, several years. Why did Elisha, why did Elisha tell the prophet, yes, I know Elijah is going up today? but you all be quiet. The prophets knew, Elijah knew, and Elisha knew that the Lord was going to take Elijah up. For everybody who wants to know where that passage is, it's 2 Kings chapter 2. Read it. It is exciting as all get out. It'll get your translation juice running, your translation engine running, I tell you. And I never understood, why did he say that? Yes, I know that Elijah is going up today, but be quiet. The two revelations I received, the Lord gave Judy and John the word today. So for every day since we can remember, we believe the translation is today. And that is the very same word that is used in 2 Kings chapter 2. So I think that is, you know, that alone is just fireworks glory. Okay? And then when I asked, what does that mean? You know, I've been asking for a long time, why did Elisha say, yes, I know, but be quiet? It occurred to me yesterday, the revelation came to me from the Holy Spirit, is Elijah is the picture of translation, Elisha and the prophet, the rapture, and it is our secret. The translation and the rapture is a secret. In other words, the world will not see us go up. They're going to experience the consequences of our going up. That's what they're going to experience. We're going to go up. The economy is going to collapse. There will be a worldwide earthquake, nuclear attack, whatever. We're not going to – that's what they're going – when we're going up, this is what they're going to experience. They're not going to be looking at us going up. Now, the translation saints go up. The rapture saints see us going up because they're like Elisha and – they will see us going up, and the reason Elisha says to the prophets, yes, I know, but be quiet, it's because that is our secret. And God does not, when God reveals to us that very moment when we're going up, it is our secret. It is not for the world to know the day or the hour that we're leaving. That is for us only. That is our reward. So, you know, I believe the day is the moment, because we're in the day. But the moment is coming where he's going to reveal to us, it is time. Let's go. And we're all going to feel it inwardly. I don't know how it's going to happen, but, you know, I'm convinced if Elisha and the prophets knew the day that he was going up, we are going to know as well.
And Carol?
So, yes.
My coworker, she's my other work. I had this dream. My coworker knows about all this. She's not saved. She was, when I told her a year and a half ago about the dream, our 2 years, and she does not work where I work. We work in different sites. We can work anywhere in New York State, in different counties. And my coworker that I worked with, he quit. He resigned the end of March. And this coworker that I had the dream about was sent to work with me in April. And guess what? She hasn't been with me because she's been up another site, but her last day to work, like to work at my site, because we hired somebody new for my site, is Monday. So she's going back to where her regular site, but she was there. So basically, she knows all, because I said it to her so many times, and she just started to go to church like a month ago, and I said it to her so many times about the dream. I said, you're going to see me disappear. You're going to see me go out. And this girl is going to run with it. She's going to run with it just like Elisha ran with it. There is a witness. God is going to have us, each of us going to have a witness, and they're going to run with it just
like
that.
Oh,
yep.
I don't
doubt
that at all.
So the time is now.
There you go.
And see, that for you, it's your co-worker. For me, it's my brother. You know, and when, you know, he is going to be the witness to see me disappear.
Oh, yeah.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
In the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows?
Sure.
He may at that moment truly repent and make the rapture.
Yeah. Have hope.
How about that?
Yep.
And we should all, you know, we should be prayerful for our families, our loved ones, our friends, our coworkers.
Sure.
You know, because God has put us in positions where we're touching somebody, where we're touching someone, and it's for Him to get the glory and praise, and for the devil to be to shame.
Yeah.
We give the Lord glory and praise through, you know, our actions, our deeds, our love for them, you know, and as the Lord, the Holy Spirit leads, we lead them to the Lord, or we just water them, or, you know, feed them a little bit, give them food, give them a drink of living water, and the devil is put to shame. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, also in that same vision after the angel came down, I'm telling you, heaven opened up like a zipper, and the angel came down and got us. We went someplace, and we were in line. And the first person that was in line was somebody from London, Britain, was British. And then I turned around and I looked at another person and I said, how does it feel to be having your baby in eternity?
Wow.
So I knew there was pregnant people in our group.
Me
I knew
too.
That wow. Roman was probably going to be the first one in line. I mean, it's just amazing how I had this dream almost 2 years ago. And I just met you guys, and we were so excited. And I could remember the feeling that I have of relief that we are finally here. And the angel is the one that greeted us, came and greeted us, and then I saw Jesus walking. And he was the one that was right there. I was signing my name, and all of us were, like, signing our name like a passport for eternity.
Oh,
we were
wow.
having a path
wow.
for eternity, and I just
wow.
remember saying, how does it feel like to have your baby in eternity? And I remember the person from British that was in front of me in the line.
Wow.
Wow. It's just amazing. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, my dreams, I have
yep.
them over the years, but they come and they
That's...
come together and they make sense. I never written down not one of my dreams, but
yeah.
I remember every single one of my dreams, and you can take them to the bank, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I don't, if somebody says, oh, your dream is this and that, no, my dream is straight on when it's from the Lord, believe it or not.
Yep.
That's
line
so
up
powerful.
Just line up the mothers, because I deliver babies and pizza, so nobody's going to be hungry and everybody's going to have their babies, like I've said before. So there you go. I'm going to be busy.
That's so powerful that dream spoke to you at this time, and it's, you feel so connected to it right now.
Yeah,
I know.
That's
it's just awesome. It's just awesome how he gave me dreams from in the 90s that is just coming to pass.
Wow.
With Russia, with all what's going on in Russia, I dreamt all that. I mean, when I saw the news today that Putin is getting, like, together with North Korea government, I mean,
yeah.
that's not strange to me, because I saw the army coming, and they were.
Wow.
I saw the army coming, and I had this in the 90s, and there's a lot of stuff that I didn't understand, and now he's like opening it, and he's like making me understand it more. And it's just amazing what our Lord can do. And he knows I hold everybody's dream. My sister said I'm the keeper of her dreams. And I don't write them down, but I remember them vividly.
Of course.
Because I'm very detailed when it comes to my dream. And I'm very nosy in my dream. So when I know I'm there, I'm running around looking around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. He pulls it all together for us, especially right now. So here we go. You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's really right.
Yep. So be at peace. It's all going to come together. It is. Exciting time.
So, so along those lines, we are family, and I thought I would play this because I studied the songs that we have in the doctrine. So we'll come back, and then I think we'll have about 5 minutes we can pray and say goodbye.
Sure.
Mama, we have Mama Pat, who we can always rely on, and Carol, the professor conductor. She's going to have a lot of titles. There's going to be all kinds of new crowns for Carol in heaven. She,
Yes, it's about the crown. She's making her own crown. She's going to be Professor Carol Crown and the Train Conductor Crown and the Salvation Station Crown.
And I'm sharing them. I'm passing them around. I'm not hoarding them. I'm passing them around. My crowns are your crowns. You know, my heritage is Mexican. You know, I've got that Spanish blood in me, and so mi casa es tu casa. So my crowns are your crowns.
Si amiga.
Amen.
¿Cómo está usted? Muy bien, yay.
Very gracious. Very gracious.
Great. I love you guys. You don't know how much I love you all. I really, 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 really. Love you all. Did I
we do too.
How much I really love you?
We do too, honey. Amen to that.
You can't. Can't do too much. Can't do too much. This is great.
If this is now, what's heaven going to be?
Yeah, I'm getting a taste of heaven by being with you guys. And I haven't even met you face-to-face, but I just have such a strong love for all of you.
Yes.
Wow, it's just,
oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, we've got a little
here.
Bit over 60 seconds. I want to say a quick prayer. Father, thank you for this fellowship that we share that's in graced with your power and loving kindness. We know that what we share is above all things with you. And so we thank you for that, and we guide us through our days and help us to continue to build and stay together and be the loving family you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. The bride says.
So, the bride says. Spirit of the bride says.
Come Lord Jesus.
Come
and
get us.
Let's
go. Let us go. We love you, Lord.
Love you, everybody.
Love
you, guys. Love you guys.
And we trust you.
Love you,
chat. Thank you, everybody, for calling in.
Okay.
Amen.
We'll see you in chat
later. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Amen. Bye-bye. Amen. And we go.
Oh, we go up. Bye-bye.